welcome to Igniting Hearts podcast with Tara Dietrich. Normally, I am joined with my husband, Benjamin Dietrich, but today we have a very special guest, and her name is Lauren Darlington, and she is with me today. Say hi, Lauren.
Hi. So nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
It is our pleasure, our honor to have you on the podcast today. I'm so excited to be your host and to have this special discussion with you, which we are going to introduce now. So I'm excited. Today's podcast, the Lord has put on my heart. It has been burning on my heart for a little while now, and it is all to do with branding a generation with holiness, that God wants to mark a generation and even begin to turn us back to a place of holiness and a set apartness for our generation and the generations that are under us and coming after us and are being raised up. So that is the topic that me and Lauren, we're going to talk about today. We're going to go into that. We see God call out young people and anoint them there in their young years as voices to their generation. And Lauren is one of those who was marked as a young person and has been set apart to be a voice into her generation. And so specifically, that's why God put her on my heart today, because we want to speak to a generation today.
Yeah.
Now, of course, this isn't just for young people, but we do want to speak to a generation, okay? But this idea of being set apart, this is for all of us. You know, I'm set apart to the Lord. Lauren's set apart to the Lord. If you're in your older years, you have been set apart and called to holiness and to play a role to being a voice and to being an example of holiness to the next generation. So really, this is for all of us. This is for men, women, you know, mothers, fathers, children, all of us. Okay. So I don't want to pigeonhole this to just being for young people.
Right.
But we do want to specifically speak to the heart of the generation that we're living in today. Because there's such an assault on this generation when it comes to the issue of purity. So we're going to be speaking into that. I'm really, really excited. But I want us to first get to know Lauren a little bit more. And so, Lauren, why don't you just share with us a little bit more about yourself and a little bit about your testimony?
Yeah, for sure. It's so fun to be here. And I'm really excited for what we're going to talk about today, because this message is definitely one that has been burnt on my heart and something that I've really been marked with. So I am from Australia. If you can't tell by my accent, some people can say that they don't hear it anymore, that don't really sound Australian, but I'm Australian. I grew up in Australia on the Sunshine Coast of Australia. I grew up in a non-Christian household. I didn't know about Jesus. I never went to church. I have slight memories of my mom praying for a parking spot, and we would get the parking spot. But that was my extent of God, church, and prayer. And when I was about 11 years old, my dad suddenly passed away from a heart attack. And that that moment kind of changed my life drastically, obviously. But for my mom, who did grow up in a Christian household with a Christian faith, she then decided, I need to take my kids to church. And so from that Sunday on, me and my brother went to church every Sunday. And it wasn't too long after that moment that I actually gave my life to Jesus. I remember I was on a youth camp. I was dragged to that youth camp, but I was there, and it was there someone asked me if I wanted to give my life to Jesus. They just asked me that question. And I remember sitting on a bunk bed and just crying out to God and saying, I know, God, that you're real, but I want to know you personally. And I knew a lot about God up at this point, but I knew that I didn't know him. He wasn't in my life. And so I gave him my life, and my life has been dramatically changed since that day. When I was about 16, I moved cities. I lived in North Queensland. I moved back to the city I was born in on the Sunshine Coast. And it's where I met Ben and Jodie Hughes, who Tara talked about earlier, and Pour It Out Ministries. And that was really when I started to encounter the Lord at about 16. I had life-changing encounters, and that's also when I became a youth leader, like I said, with my best friend. And we as a church, as Pour It Out Church in Australia, we contended for revival. It was what we were after. We prioritized his presence. And so in doing that, after about 3.5 years, our small church experienced a move of God. And I was the youth pastor at that time, and our teens and our kids just were radically touched. They became our ministry team. I remember little kids under the presence of God for hours, and just teenagers radically encountering God. And so this message about purity and just a generation on fire for God in a world that can seem so corrupt, I realized, one, that it's possible. And I had a heart to just contend for it. And so I've had the honor and privilege of getting to be a youth pastor and getting to be in different positions in churches. And recently, when I lived in Phoenix, Maricopa area, I was able to be the youth pastor there. And really my heart was just to contend for revival, to pursue his presence, and make sure that this generation, we're talking about Gen Z, really knows the voice of God. And so that's just been my heart. And so, yeah, that's kind of my testimony in a short amount of time. But I love this generation. I love what God is doing. And I love telling everybody about what God is doing in this generation, because sometimes we just hear the negative report, but I want to bring like the good report, what God is moving in this generation.
That's so good. That is so powerful. I love that you kind of referenced how you were dragged to youth,
right?
But God God encountered you. And
yeah,
we actually on this podcast just recently had a testimony from Pastor Terry Cuthbert, who had a similar kind of experience. He said he was literally like kidnapped to church, but that was his like coming back to Jesus moment. And that's what God does for us. He literally just kind of kidnaps us and drags us into his presence. But, you know, I love your testimony, and I love how you are such a voice to the next generation. And specifically what you said about like, I want to bring the good report of what God's doing, not just the negative report. So let's talk about this a little bit when it comes to purity, when it comes to calling a generation out and setting them apart for holiness. Now, Lauren, you know, you've had experience, you know, working with young people and being a youth pastor. And I just want you to give a little maybe framework in the Word of God or wherever you feel led to go about what does purity look like in this day and age? What is it look like for us to walk in today?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this and meditating on this. And, you know, purity is the standard in the scripture we read. It's the standard. And, you know, I was even reading in Galatians a week or so ago, and it's pretty clear on what is sin and what is not sin. And so I was really meditating on that. But, you know, there's a verse in 1 Peter 1:16. I wrote it down, and it says, "Be holy as I am holy." And as I was reading that, I realized, like, this is not a command as so much as an invitation. And when the Lord gives you an invitation, it means it's possible. Like, it means it's possible to be holy.
So
it's possible to be pure in a unpure atmosphere, in a world that seems not pure, not holy. It is actually possible. And so I've just been meditating on that and just realizing that, you know, sometimes we talk about purity and what it is and what it isn't. And just to like set the stage, just knowing purity is possible in this generation, in this day and age. And as a youth pastor, we were talking about it and talking about purity. I realized the best way to really communicate what purity is to preach the word. Like the best way to know the scriptures and preach the scriptures and preach the gospel. And I, as a youth pastor, I was not satisfied with like catchy messages and games. And I just like, I couldn't do it. I tried for many years, like trying to think of fun games to play and fill the time with games. And I'm not anti-fun by any means, but I just was like, no, I would see radical change in teenagers when the word was preached.
Yeah.
And when I just preached the gospel and gave the invitation for the gospel, and I would teach about how to hear the voice of God. And I would, we would pray for encounters. We would pray for his presence to fill the room and for it to be tangible. And it would happen when we prayed, it would happen. And so I always encourage like even pastors and parents, and it's like, for this generation needs the pure word of God. Like, and that's how we stay pure. It's how we stay on track, and how we like uphold the standard of purity is by communicating the word of God and preaching the word of God. I'd often say too that I could tell pretty quickly what kind of environment a teen, what their home life was like pretty quickly as soon as they entered into my youth group. And it wasn't any judgment on the teen or the parent or the family, but I could tell if a teenager had come from a home that like knew the word of God, knew his presence, practiced teaching them how to pray and the word of God. Like I could just tell pretty quickly. And so that's why preaching the word of God and upholding the word of God as being true, as being pure, as being the standard, was so radical, because when teenagers would encounter the word of God and saying, this is what the Bible says about this, about this, about this, and they would encounter the love of God from the Bible, it would radically change their lives. It would radically change even just how they would interact with people. For like this culture of purity and what it looks like, for me, it's just like, we need to preach the word of God. And I'm very passionate about it.
I love that. I love that. That's so good. Mm-hmm. Do you have any like testimonies how like just really being in youth group or even just being in the revival mm-hmm. culture that you have been in with Pour It Out Ministries, just, you know, preaching the word of God and how the power of God can literally come and transform lives just like that? You know, he has the ability to do it. Have you seen specifically, you know, any transformations that have been instantaneous within that revival atmosphere that you guys have been living in?
Yeah, I remember in the revival, so in the Pineapple Revival, I had just turned 18. I had just graduated high school and I was the youth pastor of our church. And we went every single night for about 18 months and then we kept going and then God called us to America. But I remember in the revival very early on, I think it was even in the first week or two. And I remember just the message being preached, the gospel being proclaimed, and a whole family, like a mother, a mom, a dad, and their teenage kid who we knew, they all came down to the altar together and were weeping and repenting. And literally we found out later that, you know, the parents were in discussions of, you know, divorce and separation, and their child was just going through it. And in this moment on the altar in church, they repented and just came together and their whole family was restored. Mm-hmm. And I will never forget that, them just like being laid out on the altar, like repenting and being in the presence of God and just being dramatically changed. Mm-hmm. And I also remember just when I was in Maricopa, similar story. I had this teenager who would come and honestly, to be frank, I wasn't seeing the transformation that I was desiring to see in this teenager. Sure. And so I was really praying for them, really contending for them. And one Wednesday night, the teenager came and their dad came. And I'd never met the dad, I'd always met the mom. And so I was like, it was so nice to meet him. And he asked if he could stay during the service. And although that was a little odd, I was I was like, of course you can stay. You're totally welcome to come. And I communicated with the kids that, you know, their dad was going to stay. And I just told him, like, join in with us. And we were a small youth group, so it was noticeable that he was there. And, you know, I just did my normal thing. We had a worship. I transitioned and I gave like a short gospel message. And I just preached the gospel. And I remember I said, like, with every eye's closed, like, if you want to say yes to Jesus, raise your hand. And this dad raised his hand. And I was like so changed by that. And so I got them all to pray the prayer. And I knew in that moment, like, wow, he just gave his life to Jesus. And a few weeks after, the team came back and I noticed the difference and I noticed the transformation that I had been believing for and praying for. And it was so powerful to me because I just saw, like, in my own eyes and just how saying yes to Jesus and how the gospel going forth could produce change, and how that dad's decision to say yes to Jesus was producing change in his teenage son. Mm-hmm. And it was just like one of those really powerful moments.
Yeah. That's so beautiful. Like the fruit of repentance, you know,
yeah.
You saw it evident, you know, within the generations right there in that moment, his father, you know, giving his life to the Lord brought transformation power to his life that you've been praying for.
Yeah.
You said you were, you know, really praying for that for a little while because you didn't see a change. And then his father was the key to unlocking that. And that reminds me, just as a leader in the body of Christ, but not only that, a mother, you know, to my children and, you know, a spiritual mother to others out there, like how much and how important it is for me to live a life that is holy unto the Lord. And, you know, how my life, I'm being watched and we are being watched, you know, all of us out there. Maybe it's, you're like, I'm good. You know, I'm set apart. Like I got this purity thing down, but also remember that your children and the next generation that's out there, they're watching you and they're looking to you to be that example to them. And so it makes me think of, like, maybe if I'm struggling with something and an altar call is, you know, being presented on Sunday, like, am I going to have the fear of the Lord and even myself, like, humble myself and go up to the altar and repent or receive ministry? Or will I be perceived as weak if I do that? You know,
right.
I think we have to take the charge first to present ourselves holy and blameless before the Lord to see that also be reflected in our children and be reflected in the next generation. So it's a real charge to the older generation per se to walk in that holiness ourselves and walk as ones that have that authority to be examples and to bear fruit down to the next generation. So
yes. Yeah, that's so powerful.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to also just ask, you know, like I have several different, you know, questions, different topics, all of that. But, you know, maybe for some of us, you know, like I know it was one way for me growing up in the church, but it could be different for those that are of your generation or even younger than you. What is your view on dating, dating in the church, dating as a Christian, you know, what's your view of that, number one? And then we'll go from there.
Yeah. So for me, dating has always been like, I've always thought like it's okay, but the goal of dating is marriage. So that has always been my view and kind of how I was raised. And so for me, in any, in pursuing anyone or even allowing anyone to pursue me, it was always with the basis of like, well, do we see like marriage potential in you? Or, and I had just not even really, I just really surrendered all of that to the Lord and the timing to the Lord, and just didn't even want to, I just didn't want it to take me out is the truth of what the call of God on my life. I know that I'm called. I know that God has called me, that I've been marked by his presence and by his power. And so I was not personally not willing to compromise that and compromise the call that God has for me. And so I always thought it's okay, but I just didn't want to waste anybody else's time. Yeah. And so I just never even really stepped into that season and really just trusted the Lord until that was when I knew, like, okay, this is the right season. And I really heard his voice and really, you know, had the conversations and all of that. So that's kind of always been my view with dating.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. I think that's very responsible too. Like, I loved how you were like, I don't have time for that. Like, I don't have time to be, you know, waste my time on things that aren't going to continue to, you know, push me to mm-hmm. Jesus. But at the same time, you know, you did say you think it's okay, but this was your standard. And I love that you have a standard for that.
Right.
Is there any advice that you would give to, you know, parents out there mm-hmm. or even to the next generation when it comes to dating, like mm-hmm. the standard that you talked about? Is there any specific advice that you would give to this is how I would do this responsibly to guard your heart and to protect yourself in the season that the Lord has them?
I think, like, wisdom wise for parents, like, to just encourage your teen and just to wait as long as possible, because there's really no harm in waiting. My best friend actually said this to me recently about a different topic, but just said, you'll never regret waiting.
Wow.
And it really marked me, like, yeah, you'll never regret waiting if the Lord is telling you to wait. And his timing is perfect. And you really need to believe that. And you told me some of the questions and skipping forward, I'll repeat it at the end too. But you said, like, what is one piece of advice that you give your younger self? And for me, it's like, trust his timing. And even if you're maybe you're Gen Z, maybe you're younger and you're like, that's a desire of your heart. Like, firstly, the desire isn't bad, but surrender that desire to Jesus and trust his timing and trust that he is a good dad that has good plans for your life, like hope-filled future plans for your life. And so you can trust his timing and you'll never regret waiting. And I think as a parent, I'm not a parent, but I have worked with teens a lot. And so for me, advice and wisdom would just be to encourage the waiting and the pursuit of the Lord and growing in the Lord and knowing his voice. And for your teen or for your child, and that will really help. I believe it will really help. Yeah.
That's so good. I agree with that 100%. You know, and I think being open with our kids, like my kids are still young. They're not at that point where we're even ready to discuss the option of dating. Even right now, I'm cultivating a trust with my children of, like, openness to talk with us if they have questions, if they are starting to get feelings for the opposite sex, like being open to talk and us being a safe place to talk to us about those things, because the last thing we want is for them to not come to us with those questions. Well, where are they going to go then with those questions? And so that I know that's something that I've been cultivating as a parent is also just that open communication and dialogue right off the bat from a young generation about curiosity or questions about that when it comes to purity, when it comes to dating, when it comes to feelings and what does that mean and what do I do with those things? So that's so good.
I love that.
That waiting piece. Like, wait, you won't regret it. That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Honestly, I wish my younger self knew that. So that is so beautiful. And I think if we can get that now, it will safeguard our hearts, you know, to a bride ready and prepared, not even just in the natural, a bride or a groom, you know, but in a spiritual realm and a natural realm. So
yeah. I love that.
Talking about purity, talking about all of that, you know, even me talking about how I'm preparing my kids young, I also wanted to ask the question and put this question out there. Like, we live in such a sexually charged society. It is honestly like so scary, you know, sometimes to even turn on the television. And, you know, when I was a kid, you know, we didn't have to worry about commercials having swear words or having sexual explicit things in them, or, you know, just things that overtly go against our Christian values. That was not something that we dealt with when I was young. But today, in this day and age, I feel like we can't even walk outside without that assaulting us. And so, you know, how can we, you know, just be better safeguard to, again, our children, or even to the younger generation? You know, how can we help, you know, even if it's you out there that are listening that is a young person and you're like, yeah, give me tools to help me, you know, guard my eyes. How do I keep my mind set on things above? You know, what are some ways that we can help keep ourselves pure in a culture that is so perverse?
Yeah, well, you even just referred to it, but I wanted to read some scripture. So in Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for from it flows the issues of life." In Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." And we talked about it. You said, like, I think practically the way that we really safeguard ourselves, our kids, this generation, is we have to protect like those eyes and ear gates. Like, we have to protect what it is that is coming in. And because above all else, like, we need a pure heart. We need a pure heart. And I talked about it a little bit before, but I noticed, and when kids or teens would come into my youth group, I was aware of like what kind of environment they were coming from. And so as a parent, to really protect your kids, like, think about the culture in your home. I was talking about this, our team was meeting today, and we were talking about how culture will happen. And so you have to be intentional about what kind of culture you're creating.
Yeah.
And so that is true on a personal level. It's true also with ministry. But it's also true with your family and in your home culture. Like, what is your culture? And I was thinking about how I grew up. This is kind of funny, but I grew up as a very much like sit on the couch and eat dinner kind of family. But as I got older, obviously I talked about my dad passed away. When we started going to church, that kind of changed, and we became a sit at the dinner table kind of family. And it changed because my mom started to say, "Hey, we're going to sit at the table and eat dinner now." And it just was this little change, but it changed the culture of our family. So if we had friends over, if we had family come over, we would always sit at our table and eat dinner, and we wouldn't really sit in front of the TV on the couch anymore. And so even when we're thinking about like protecting our kids from what they're seeing, what they're hearing, it has to be an intentional focus. Yeah. And so that's just one thing I was thinking of. Another thing I was thinking of is really teaching, and for ourselves, like, learning the voice of God, learning to hear his voice. I grew up, like I said, I got saved when I was around 12 years old. And from that, I always felt empowered to hear the voice of God, to know his voice. And I knew what he was saying. And obviously I was young, and my mom was also on a similar journey. But I remember being maybe 14, 15, and I'd wake up from having these dreams, and I knew God was speaking to me and our family. And I would come to my mom. I remember I'd go to my mom in the kitchen, and I would say, "Mom, God is telling us this." And my mom just so beautifully would be like, "Okay, if that's God, then I know he's going to confirm it, and he'll confirm it to me too." And I was like, okay, cool. And then I remember the next night I had the same dream. And I was like, Mom, God said this. And what God actually said was, Mom, we're going to move cities. We're going to move like 16 hours. That's what God said to me. And my mom said, okay, well, if it's God, he's going to confirm it. And I had the dream one more time. And my mom said, okay, I believe that's God. So we're going to just start acting and moving in that direction. And she just so beautifully kind of taught me how to hear the voice of God, how to steward his voice, and then how to obey his voice, basically. And so as a youth pastor, how I would teach kids this is I heard this message when I was maybe 16, but it's about like the gray scale. And so basically I would turn to the teens and I would say to them, like, some things are black and some things are white. So I would say basically like murder is black and God is like white, right? He's pure, he's holy, and murder is sin. And I would use these drastic things. And I would start saying things and I'd tell them like, yell out if it's black or white, if it's good or bad. And I'd yell out different things. And then I would start doing things that maybe weren't so clear cut, black or white. So I would say, what about Justin Bieber? What about TikTok? What about homeschooling? And I'd yell out these things and I'd have a range of answers. Some people who went to public school, when I would say homeschooling, they would say, oh, that's bad. Or the others who were homeschooled would say that was good. And I would have these range of things. I'd say TikTok, good or bad. And I'd have these range of things. And it would usually be based off the environment they came from, what their parents had kind of taught them or what their experience was. And I said, well, what if homeschooling was right for this person, but not right for this person? Or what if like this was right for this, like eating cake was good for this person and not good for this person? I'd use different examples. And I remember one time this teen said, well, how do I know if it's not so clear cut? Like, how do I know? And I said, we have to let Holy Spirit shine a light on it and determine. And so I would teach them how we needed to hear and know the voice of God. Yeah. And so I would teach them that. We would do practical exercises on how to hear the voice of God. I'd go on for like a couple of weeks teaching them how to hear the voice of God, how to prophesy, how to share the word of God, all of that. And then I would teach them what conviction was. I would teach them what it feels like. I would teach them like, this is what conviction feels like when you're doing something and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I don't know if this is right. I'd say that is often Holy Spirit convicting us. Mm. And I would teach them how when we're convicted, it's never, God's never putting shame on us. He's actually saying, hey, there's a better way. And he's teaching us. And so I would teach this to our kids and then to the teens. And then at the end of that lesson, I would always pray and we'd say, okay, we're going to do a fast of some kind, but we're going to pray about it. And I remember this one time I asked them to pray about what we're supposed to give up or something that we were supposed to do. What is the Holy Spirit leading us to do? And I remember one kid said, I feel like I'm not supposed to watch TV for 30 days. And I was like, okay, then that's what the Lord is saying. So now we're going to have to obey how we're going to do this. And I remember another teen, she said, I feel like the Lord is saying that every time my mom asks me to do something, I have to do it quickly. And I was like, okay, that's powerful.
Yeah.
And so just like practically what I really believe is to protect our kids. They have to know the voice of God and they have to know what conviction like looks like, feels like. And as parents, as older generation speaking into a younger generation, and even just for ourselves, like we need to know the voice of God and we need to know what to do when we are convicted.
Yeah.
And how to make these decisions. And I'll also never forget that student who said every time her mom asked her to do something, she had to do it quickly. I remember the next week I said, How are you doing with that, what the Lord asked you to do? And she said, it was really funny. I was just sitting doing nothing and my mom asked me to unload the dishwasher. And first I just said, oh, I can't believe she's asking me to do this. And then she said, but then I remembered what the Lord asked me to do. And she said, I got convicted.
Wow.
And she said, so I immediately jumped up and I unloaded the dishwasher.
I love that.
And then she said, the next day, my mom came and thanked me. for my quick obedience. And she said, I didn't even tell her that that's what God asked me to do, but she thanked me for it. She's like, and I was just like the proudest like youth pastor ever. I was like, that's so good. I love that. But just in this charged society with social media, with all this influence, you know, I really believe we have to teach them how to hear the voice of God, teach them what conviction feels like, and really just follow the voice of the Lord in it. Because it really does protect you. Like you start hearing 15-year-old teenage girls saying, I feel like the Lord is telling me to obey my parent, obey my mom. And then you get another teenage boy who's saying, I feel like I'm not supposed to watch TV anymore. And they're being all led by the Lord into this purity, into this standard of righteousness that the Bible tells us to live. But it was all from the voice of the Lord. It was all from following him and his word.
That's so beautiful and so powerful. I love that. I love not only the piece about hearing the voice of God, which is the first piece, but then also like teaching them how to have sensitivity in, you know, you said conviction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just taught on the spirit of discernment and how we really need to sharpen that discernment in us. And so it kind of goes hand in hand in that. And so that is so powerful, so good. And it kind of reminds me of, you know, when you were talking about that, you know, when the Lord tells us to do something, how, you know, when we first start to walk in that, sometimes like that young person, you said, oh, do I really have to do that? Like how many times sometimes we do that, you know, even when God is calling us to live separate from something. Mm-hmm. Right. But it's foreign to our friends or it's foreign to the society and the world and the culture that we live in. So, you know, almost like that, you know, voice, do we really have to do that? You know, it's not so bad, you know, but we know if we are hearing the voice of God and we know that God has called us to set ourselves apart in that way, it's like living a life of obedience and how that's a joy. It's a joy to do that. But every time we choose to do that, it becomes easier. Yes. It becomes easier to walk in obedience. How, in the beginning, you know, when you are fighting temptation or when you are disciplining your mind to not think about things that are unholy or whatever that looks like for you or for the younger generation or for us even today, you know, whatever that looks like, in the beginning, it can be difficult to train ourselves to do that. But the more that we train ourselves, the stronger our spiritual muscles become and the easier then it becomes to live set apart, you know, and so, and the more comfortable it will be to live a life set apart, because I think that's one thing that we have to be okay with is being different.
Right.
We won't look like the world. And sometimes I think that is hard for us and for the younger, you know, trying to let the younger generation know it's okay to be different.
Right.
It's a privilege to be different and to be marked by Jesus.
Right. And I remember too, like when God poured out his presence on our small little church in Australia, you know, and my whole youth group got touched, all the kids got touched radically. And we were coming together every night, pursuing more of his presence and being in that revival atmosphere. Like there was nowhere else I wanted to be. And I was 18 years old, and you know, turning 18 in Australia is like almost the equivalent of turning 21 here. It's the drinking age, but it's just the age you become an adult. It's the age, like all the big birthday parties are at 18. And so I remember getting invited to all these different parties, all these different things. And I just had no desire to go to them. Of course, I desired the friends and I missed the friendship, but I remember like making the decision and weighing up the cost every time and saying, no, there's nowhere else I'd rather be. I want to be in his presence. And God was moving and I was seeing miracles like I'd never seen before. And people encountering Jesus like I never, and I personally was encountering Jesus like I never encountered him before. And there was a cost, yes, but ultimately it radically transformed my life.
So I just want to thank Lauren so much for being my special guest. I think we actually accidentally lost her with a connection issue, but no worries at all. I just want to thank Lauren for being our guest, being a voice to us, to encourage us to come up higher, that we are able, like she said in the beginning, that we are able to live a life set apart, that through him, we have access and we have the ability to do it. And so that's so empowering right then and right there. And so I am just so encouraged. I hope you're encouraged out there. We want to thank you so much for joining us for this special episode of Igniting Hearts, and just want to encourage you to hit that like button, to share this with as many people as possible, especially with, if you know anyone from the younger generation that would be encouraged by this, that this would uplift them in their walk with Christ, or if you know anyone in a place of influence over the next generation, please share this with them. We want to get this out there and impact them and let them know that they are branded for holiness and to be set apart for him for the purposes of God. God bless. We'll see you next time.